I was on the schedule for Mother's Day, so we just did a little rearranging. When I go down to Florida, I usually look out for stories or articles that really stand out and just strike me, that reach my heart and my soul. And I happened to find two stories that did that, and I'd like to share them with you today. These articles will show just how much the human spirit can endure and even overcome with hope, grace, courage, and the belief that with God we will always get to where we need to be. The first was written by Laura Unger for the USA Today. Laura spent 2.5 years following the journey of Jill Brzezinski Connolly. She's the younger one on the left, who suffered with incurable breast cancer. Even though cancer cut short Jill's life of 38 years, she made the best of those years by inspiring others despite pain, exhaustion, and frailty, never letting cancer define her or extinguish her light. As Ms. Unger followed Jill those 2.5 years, she learned many lessons about herself, her craft, and life, to never waver from her mission by touching lives through meaningful stories. And I thought these lessons were universal. Lesson 1, live your purpose. One of Jill's dying missions was to spread her belief that beauty is defined by kindness, confidence, and love. Jill gave talks around the nation, encouraging everyone to rock what you got, reminding people not to believe in the shallow messages out there about what real beauty is. Even though Jill had one breast destroyed by radiation, she refused to wear a prosthetic. Her true beauty shined so brightly, no one ever noticed. Lesson 2, life happens in this moment. Jill would sometimes forgo chemo if it meant she'd be too sick to give a talk or get together with family or friends. She traded the possibility of more time for living fully in the moment. She knew her time was too limited to let those moments pass by. Lesson 3, be generous. We're all in this together. Jill connected with the beauty in others and put them first. She sent thank you notes to doctors and nurses, and she kept journals filled with life lessons for her family. She called and wrote messages to other patients and found a charity to raise money for families also facing cancer. Jill let Unger stay with her as the cancer spread from her bones, her liver, and her lungs, so that through her story, others could gain strength through their trials. Lesson 4. You must live within some stories in order to tell them. Unger saw Jill's husband Bart's love for her as he drained fluid from her lungs or curled up beside her when she was confined to bed. Unger was there when Jill's mother told it was a privilege to have her as a daughter. And Unger cried in the arms of church volunteers as the coffin was wheeled to the hearse. To Unger, following Jill's story meant losing a friend and being reminded that love's cost is pain, but worth it anyway. Lesson 5. Use your gifts to be an instrument of God. At Jill's visitation, a cancer survivor approached Unger saying, the stories on Jill gave her strength to rock what she got while recovering from her ordeal, and that Unger would never know how many readers also found hope and kinship and felt they had lost a friend when Jill died. Another reader who lost her husband and son to cancer called Jill God's instrument in giving hope, strength, and others, love, and love to others. For Unger, the part she played in Jill's story was humbling. Such stories are why she is a journalist. She wrote, too many of us leave this world with our stories unfinished, But when we inspire and give of ourselves like Jill did, others carry our story forward and finish them for us. The next article I found was in the Port Charlotte, Florida local newspaper with the headline, Peace That Surpasses All Understanding. And that Mariette is the one on the right. She and her family in 1973 set out for a month of camping in Montana. One night, the oldest girl woke up and noticed Susie, the youngest, who was sleeping next to the tent wall, was not there and ran to tell her parents, who were in another tent. They saw a hole had been cut through the tent on Susie's side, and for 5 weeks, police and volunteers from all over the state searched an area 50-mile radius. Exactly 1 year to the minute from the time of the kidnapping, Marietta received a call in the middle of the night from the kidnapper. He said, I have her. And to prove it wasn't a hoax, he told Marietta about the deformed fingernails on Susie's index fingers, a detail never released to anyone. The kidnapper was calling to taunt and torture Marietta more, but she was in a different spiritual place after an intense year of prayer and struggle. She had been given the gift of peace that surpasses all understanding. As she talked to the kidnapper, she stayed calm, keeping him on the phone for 1.5 hours. I told him I was praying for him and asked what I could do for him. As her unexpected compassion broke him down, sobbing, he told her things that later helped the FBI in the investigation. Even though the FBI eventually learned his identity, proving he was the killer was a different story. There was no concrete evidence. He traveled to different states calling Marietta, playing the role of someone else, but she knew it was David, and she kept calling him by his name. Eventually, David got frantic and confused and started referring to earlier conversations, revealing things that only the killer would know. All calls were taped, so the FBI was able to search his home and found the evidence they needed. They learned Susie was killed 2 weeks after she was taken. How she suffered and died was more than any parent would have been able to cope with. From the time 7-year-old Susie was kidnapped, Marietta struggled with her feelings about the person who took her child. Even before she knew Susie was dead, she wanted to tear the kidnapper to pieces for causing her daughter anguish. Any parent can understand her grief and passionate feelings about such a person. What may be harder to understand was what changed her heart. She forgave him. Even when the killer told Maria what he had done to Susie, she forgave him. She learned he was a serial killer who took the lives of other children, but she forgave him. She didn't want the death penalty for him, saying killing him wouldn't bring Susie back. All life is sacred. Taking another life in the name of my innocent child wouldn't honor her in the way she deserves to be. Marietta said her heart changed after a year of prayer and listening to what the Holy Spirit was telling her. Forgiveness was hard, and it took work. Finally, she gave God permission to change her heart. She reached the state of grace to forgive. Instead of making suffering her reality, Marietta's life mission has been to help others heal their pain as a motivational speaker. Hearing her story has given hope to others so that they too might find the way to forgiveness. Marietta wrote a book shortly after Susie's death called The Lost Child. William Paul Young, who wrote The Shack, said he was inspired by a true story, and many believe his inspiration was Marietta's story of forgiveness. In each story I've told you today, it would be very understandable for these two women to have lost themselves in their excruciating pain and suffering, whether it was physical or emotional. But each of them found what they needed to endure death through love. Last week's gospel reminded us of that love and the courage to forgive. Jill was described as God's instrument in giving hope, strength, and love to others. The headline of the article was, "Dying Cancer Warrior Was Best Teacher." A Course in Miracles states, "Everyone teaches and teaches all the time. Once you develop a thought system of any kind, you live by it and teach it. Teach only love, for that is what you are." Marietta's message to us is equally powerful. When we take the ugliness out of our heart and learn to forgive, God will get us where we need to be. Two very powerful teachers, two courageous instruments of peace.